It is going to be a very interesting morning. Coming up sometime this hour, not yet, maybe shortly, the mysterious Victor, the Area 51 employee, Victor, who claims he smuggled a video out of Area 51 of an interrogation, of a questioning of an actual alien. And we back that up with photographs. I have a second photograph now on my website, and you are more than welcome to take a look. They're up there for your perusal. We have otherwise described them as best we can. With me also is Sean David Morton. And I'm keeping my eye on a special line here, waiting for it to ring. Victor will be using a voice changer, as you can imagine. If he is a current, or just a relatively current employee of Area 51, he does not want his voice recognized. So we're going to get a chance to ask him some questions about this very mysterious base I live so close to. Coming up, I think, sometime this hour. All right, here we go, folks. We do have Victor, I believe, on the line. If you want to see the photographs from the alien interview interrogation, we'll find out what it is. They are at www.artbell.com. That's www.artbell.com. These photographs come to us courtesy of a video allegedly smuggled from Area 51 by the man I think you're about to hear from, Victor. Now, let us first discern whether we have Sean here. Sean?
I'm here, boss.
Okay. Here we go, I think. Let's see if we've got Victor on the line. Victor, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the program, Victor.
Yes, I think it's fair to say at this moment I'm incensed. This snafu with the telephone numbers, can I ask you who is at your studio at this time?
Well, I'm here. And other
than yourself?
My wife is here, of course. Oh. I do my broadcast from home, Victor, and other than myself and my wife, there's nobody.
Well, I would... At this moment, I believe that 45 minutes from now, I will have finished my last public pronouncement, because this business with Jeff and the phone numbers is not part of the agreement.
Well, Victor, it was just a problem because somebody wrote a 7 instead of a 1. That's you know, it was just a simple mistake.
All right.
Yes.
We're sorry.
Yeah, we are sorry, and it was just a simple mistake is exactly correct. Victor...
Who is that second voice?
I'm sorry, this is Sean Morton. How are you, sir?
Oh, Mr. Morton.
Nice to talk to you.
Yes.
If you can, Victor, we would like to both probably ask you some questions if we can. Obviously, if you can't answer a question, you let us know, and, you know, we'll back away.
By the way, Mr. Morton?
Yes, sir.
Sean Morton,
yes.
I have come into possession of your Delphi Associate newsletter dated
yes.
April 11th,
yes.
1997, and I have to say this is how misinformation proliferates. I don't know where you got your information about what I have stated to the rocket people, but there are a number of statements here that are incorrect.
Okay, well, maybe we should start there, because I tried to check everything with Jeff. All I had was...
Mr. Broadstreet. He has successfully prevented me from prescribing myself a double Bushmell for nerves. I, frankly, well, let's leave that for the moment.
All right.
In your newsletter, you state, Victor was assisting in the downloading of video analog footage to digital computer storage. I have never stated that I was assisting or participating in this downloading. I mentioned the downloading. I referred to the downloading in my cryptic attempt to suggest how the tape was smuggled out, as everyone seems to prefer to refer to it.
Is that a reasonable a reference to it, smuggled?
Well, not in the sense of... Well, later in the same newsletter, Mr. Morton says that I... Let me see if I can find it here. Where is it?
Victor?
Oh, yes, and an oppor- opportunity came where he was left unwatched and unsupervised for a scant few moments, which allowed him to make a quick VHS copy of footage he was viewing and somehow managed to smuggle it off the base in a bag with some other equipment. Now, I've never made a statement like this. It's a charming scene for a science fiction movie, but frankly, a VHS tape has never come onto or been taken off of the S4.
All right, Victor, this is Art Bell. Listen, let's not concentrate on what he's got wrong. Let's concentrate on what really did happen.
All right.
Okay? So, first of all, how did you get this tape? Can you say that?
I cannot say specifically how I came into possession of this tape. I stated in the interview with the Rocket People, which, by the way, was in September of last year. I was under the impression that I would be through with my contractual obligations to them by Christmas. But that's neither here nor there. I came into possession of this tape thanks to a confluence of circumstances which I can relate now. I was not able to relate it in September, but circumstances have changed, which we may get to. The linchpin of the possibility that was afforded to me to bring out this particular piece of information is that Area 51 is now defunct as an operating location for the government's alien program.
Mm-hmm.
And this process has been ongoing since 1991.
All right, can we ask you straight out, did you bring that tape out of Area 51 personally, or did you acquire it after it had been removed by somebody else?
I was the active agent in removing the data that appears on that tape from S4.
From S4.
The tape itself is a simple VHS copy which I provided to Rocket Pictures. The actual data was digital.
Uh-huh.
It was a relatively small bundle of information. It did not require anything so conspicuous as a VHS tape to be brought out, and I will not say at this time whether it was brought out in a discrete unit or whether it was smuggled out in some other...
All right, but in a digital form like an AVI file or something like that that you then converted to analog to VHS?
Something like that. Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Do you know what DNI stands for?
Department of Naval Intelligence.
Okay, that settles that one. Were you an employee or are you now an employee of Area 51?
In September, they asked me the same question after we had a pre-interview in which I stated that I would not answer it. I suppose it's a question that has to be asked. I'm not going to answer whether I was an employee at S4, but I have been physically on the site, and you can look into the various options available to an individual to bring them to that.
All right, Victor. Well, not too many people get invited as just visiting to Area S4. So So is it reasonable to ask you how you were transported to the base? I live in Pahrump, Nevada, where every morning there are buses, Victor, that take employees to Area 51. Hell, it says Area 51 right on the side. Other people are flown out to Area 51.
Yes, I don't want to specify too specifically because it will tend to indicate when I was there, but they do run the EG&G 737 out of McCarran and more recently CT-43 transports. I suppose I can say I did not take the bus.
Okay. Okay, good. Then you flew. So next question is, how long had that alien, do you know, been on the base before they filmed that segment of which you have a portion?
Approximately 20 months. It was brought in late 1989, and the tape was from January of 1991.
Okay. Do you know how we got our hands on this alien? Was it as a result of a crash or a landing, or do you have any history at all?
Well, this brings up a question that's central to the whole issue of the government's retention of these beings. I believe the government's position is that they shot this alien down. I do not personally believe that the government could shoot this alien down if the alien did not choose to be shot down. But perhaps now is not the right time to be getting into the larger issues of their presence.
You are aware that we have, then, the technology to shoot down alien craft?
I am aware that our technology has been used to down alien craft. Whether our technology is advanced enough to give us the power to choose to bring one of these craft down is another matter entirely.
All right, Victor, there were a lot of people who viewed the video. Some, on Strange Universe, they saw just a very few seconds of it. And, the entire thing, I believe. And Whitley Strieber was one of them who reacted very emotionally, Victor, and thought that alien was being treated badly. Can you characterize the treatment of the alien in the course of the whole thing?
The alien was being treated badly, but not... That was not the intention. The maltreatment of the aliens stems from our essential helplessness to either help or affect them. The dog and pony show of a medical team handling the physical debilities of these beings is one of the constant sources of paranoia and chaos within the administration of these programs. You find a high degree of well-educated charlatanism within these programs simply because the government requires that various disciplines deal with these aliens, and these disciplines do not have the science to back up their efforts. This brings up, I've been given a tape of Mr. Strieber's appearance on your program.
April
12th.
Yes.
And I just want to respond to, or possibly two of his statements over the course of this call, but one in particular now. He took me to task for a statement I made in the interview to Rocket Pictures, in which I said that this was second-hand information, but I said that the position of the scientists who had studied this was that the aliens had eliminated viral and microbial life from their own ecosystem. And Mr. Strieber made the sensible point from a terrestrial point of view that microbes play a beneficial as well as a harmful role in the health and correct functioning of human beings, and that therefore it was scientifically foolish to make this comment. Well, first of all, I have not specified that I'm a scientist, so I'm not going to jump up on my high horse and become offended at this, but I would like to point out that the overriding quality of these beings is a level of advancement beyond our ability to understand what it is they're doing, both as beings and as workers of technological apparent miracles.
Were we able to communicate with it?
This is another issue that is fraught with ambiguity. But let me finish the comment about microbes. all the evidence suggests that these beings are biologically inert in relation to our ecosystem. They might as well be a petri dish. And the statement that I made, which again was second-hand information, background information, but the comment that I made seeking to explain the last partition between the interviewer and the being,
yes,
and is seeking to explain the sort of lackadaisical hygienic standards of the medical team, was that there's a half-hearted by now attempt to minimize microbial contamination of the beings, because the microbes and various other biological entities can form colonies within these being systems. They operate, their physiology operates in a way that is symbolically similar, let us say, to human physiology, but does not appear to include the normal biological
okay, Victor, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. We've got a break here. We'll be right back. This is CBC.
Toll free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It is. My guests are the mysterious Victor, the man who has supplied Rocket Video with the alien interrogation video, if that's the right name for it. I'm not sure it is. And Sean David Morton. Back to them in a moment. Now back to Victor, who is using a voice changer to protect his identity, and Sean David Morton. Victor.
Yes.
Let me try asking again. You've kind of characterized this alien as kind of like a petri dish, or a, here at any rate, in a petri dish. Might I ask, did we manage any form of communication with it?
This is the great mystery involved in the government's hosting of these beings since the late 40s. In fact, the telepathic capabilities of these beings has been long established, at least insofar as DNI is concerned. That was another statement that Mr. Schreiber, Strieber,
Strieber
made on your program, that the statement that the man in the foreground in the video is a telepath seemed like science fiction. And I actually agree with him more than perhaps he would expect. The issue here is that no one who has ever been in the presence of these beings has not felt as if thoughts, not his own, were entering his brain. And this has been long established, and various experiments have been done in which the government satisfied itself that these beings were giving off some form of telepathic or thought transference, telepathic contact or thought transference. The question mark is whether certain individuals truly are more capable of receiving and returning receiving these messages than the average person.
Sure.
And this is one of the elements of the entire black program related to alien visitors that I find amusing. I believe that many, if not all, of the telepaths who have been recruited or who have cleverly managed to get themselves recruited into this program are largely the same sort of charlatans you can call late at night, at 99 cents a minute or whatever it is.
So in other words, you're not trusting of whatever information they think they might have gleaned.
I believe it is at best heavily influenced by the assumptions and beliefs and hopes of these individuals, and at worst is a deliberate attempt to tell the government what the government wants to know.
Yep.
And this may account for part of the fact that the may account in part, I should say, for the fact that the government has had these beings for 50 years now, and has amassed a constant and ever-growing stream of data supposedly emanating from them, and yet is incapable of consistently using this technology or entering into effective relations with these beings.
So you're saying we really have not effectively communicated with them? There has been no vocal communication?
The aliens do not speak.
What about hand signs or other methods of communication that would tell us these are sentient beings and not robotic in nature?
That's a very astute question. The telepathy and the technology which they so clearly possess are the only signs of their sentience. As for their gestures, they have on occasion used gestures such as stop or come here.
Mm-hmm.
That mimic signs that I suppose they have seen among the human personnel that they've encountered, and the civilians, by the way. But this business of pictographs, which Mr. Broadstreet gave quite a bit of emphasis to in this video, this never-ending video, which I thought I was through with 7 months ago.
It is important, Victor, because the video, of course, is incredible.
Yes.
But your words about it go a long way toward backing it up or causing people to become very skeptical. May I ask you, Victor, why the room was kept so dark? Is it because of the large eyes and the sensitivity to light?
This is the official explanation for the darkness of the room. But you'll note that the alien himself is bathed in light. It's the room that's dark. And I frankly don't have an adequate explanation for this.
All right, the alien in the second photograph with the doctor present, whose face, I understand, has been erased.
Sorry?
With the doctor present in the second.
Who told you his face has been erased?
It looks as though it has been...
I'm sorry, which figure are you referring to?
I'm referring to an apparent physician who has his finger, a gloved finger, in the mouth.
Yes, well, if his features are not visible, that's the effect of the mask. I did nothing, and I don't believe Rocket has done anything to distort the actual images.
That's interesting.
In fact, the images are a bit degraded from the VHS copy.
I'm sure they are, sure.
The telepath in the left foreground is so dark that a number of people have missed him. In fact, Rocket just sent the video to be analyzed by some computer whiz in Phoenix, Arizona.
Uh-huh. We sent it to Dr. Jim Delatoso in Phoenix.
Yes. Well, there he is. Phoenix? Yes. He he analyzed the footage, made a number of odd statements. But one thing he commented on: the three human individuals in the video. There were four. He did not even see the person on the left, which I find bizarre.
Okay, we'll take a look. Now the doctor or the physician, whatever we've got here, with his finger in the alien's mouth in the second photograph.
Yes.
The alien was apparently having some sort of seizure and was frothing. Was this a dying alien? Did this alien die?
I think you will find... I think you will find that all of the reports of these beings inevitably end with them dying, and most of their appearances are in a condition that seems to be debilitated. In September, when Rocket interviewed me, I was not prepared to say that the alien was dead. I only knew that he disappeared from S4, but that was also at the point when S4 was being stood down.
Do you now know him to be dead?
I now believe very strongly that the alien is dead. I would go so far as to say that all of the beings in the government's possession are now dead.
Are we mistreating them?
Did the Romans mistreat Jesus? This is the central issue for me, increasingly, and even more so in the time since I brought out this tape. I believe that these beings are engineering their own treatment. They are presenting themselves as a test to us, and I do not believe that if they were not willing to be treated in the way that we treat them, we would have the power to do so. But in the sense that these beings are dying in our custody, and in the sense that our treatment of them seems to have no taint of commonality, no successful two-way communication that we can understand. I believe that the aliens understand us better than we understand them, and I believe that the statements they make or appear to make are calibrated to some purpose of their own, which is not clearly understood by us.
That brings me to the next question. That is, with whatever has been divined, is there anything you're fairly sure you can tell us about what they're all about, where they're from, and what their agenda is? In other words, what they want, why they're here, that sort of thing. Is there anything that seems clear in any one of those areas to you?
Clear, no. But I believe in an overarching sense, these beings have been here before, and the program that they are performing upon the human race is as old as the human race, certainly as old as consciousness. And I believe,
let me try this. What you're saying might lead some to believe that they are, in fact, the architect of the human race. Is that with
that is the architect is not a term I would use, but in the sense that you mean it, I believe I would agree, yes.
All right, you have told us that the Department of Naval Intelligence is the DNI. Can you enlighten us at all as to the rest of the coding at the bottom?
Yes. Let me see. Do I have the
I'd be glad to read you what we have on one. The latest photograph we have says DNI/2704/02-5818.
Yes, this is not. It's not really the issue. Can you hold on one second?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yes, at any rate, DNI is Department of Naval Intelligence. 27 is a refers to a system of division that DNI adopted back when they first began using time code, and it's a jerry-rigged adaptation of an earlier logging system for visual documentation. And then the final eight digits are self-explanatory. They're
sure.
Hours, minutes, seconds, and frames.
Okay.
And 27 has no meaning in and of itself. It's merely a logging system that can be accessed according to code books and what have you.
All right. Some people have said, why is the video so foggy? Now, I view it as fairly clear, but one would imagine that with the high-tech video equipment we have, you would get very, very, very sharp images. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, part of the fogginess is the VHS copy, and I'm debating the possibly when I delivered this tape originally, I was extremely paranoid, and I have not become
sure.
any less paranoid. But I believe I understand where I stand a little bit better now.
Are you are you in fear of your life?
Well, the simple answer is yes, but I'm by nature an observer. I have not personally experienced harassment, and I think I've been relatively successful in maintaining my anonymity and so to speak. But
you are convinced they do not.
In the experiences of others, both individuals who are known to the public because they made it into the media and other individuals, that there are great dangers involved in bringing this kind of information out, not because the government is all-powerful, but because the government is and knows itself to be out of control in relation to this phenomenon. They crave control, and they have no control, and as it leaks away from them, they can become vicious.
Sean, do you have any questions?
Well, specifically, there was no sound on the tape that we were given. Can you...
Yeah, can I break in here? Jeff just supplied me with a note, which I suppose qualifies as a commercial. He said, the video in the rocket tape is fairly clear, not foggy. This is true. It does look better in the video.
Okay.
It is... Oh, we never did finish that point. It is dark, and I do not have an answer that satisfies me for why it is so. This business of the aliens needing the environment to be dark does not wash with me, mainly because the being itself is bathed in light. On the other hand, well, if I go any further in this direction, I think I may be stepping into the areas that I am trying to avoid for my own self.
Victor said, you said in your interview that you had actually personally seen this creature on an occasion. Can you tell us anything?
This is the case, but I made it abundantly clear that it was not necessarily the session that is represented in this video.
Yes, but can you tell us about what happened when you actually saw the creature and what your opinion was and what your thoughts were?
Well, no, I can't. I can tell a secondhand anecdote. If I speak about the occasion when I personally encountered the being, I would be compromising myself.
All right. What about your emotions? In other words, what did you feel when you were in its presence? Can you describe that at all? Did you feel awed? Did you feel sorrow? Did you feel elated? What did you feel?
I suppose I felt sorrow. I felt anger. I'm not by nature an emotional. Well, I am an emotional person. I am not by nature an interactive person. A person who say this has changed me. It has had an effect that I did not choose, and I still possibly willfully refuse to welcome. I'm in the beginning when I brought this tape out, I suppose in a sense it was an emotional reaction to that meeting, but it's gotten away from me. This effort on my part to do my bit, so to speak,
that's a very important question, Victor. You got this out of Area 51 in the way described earlier. Why?
Not described earlier, as a matter of fact. But
well, by digital form, in other words.
It was made possible by the digitizing of these old analog.
I've got you. But my question is, what was your motivation in bringing it out? Did you just want the American people to know? Is that the idea?
Well, as a matter of fact, on your own show, with Whitley Strieber, there was something he said that struck me so singularly that I wrote it down. As a matter of fact, I have it here on a scrap of paper. He said, "This is the face that mankind is turning to this other world," and I suppose, to some extent, that was my motive. I believe that these beings cannot be harmed by us in any significant way, in any way that is meaningful to them. But at the same time, I believe they're presenting us with a sort of test. They have appeared in an incomprehensible panoply of circumstances in front of private individuals who are then left, metaphorically speaking, wandering in the wilderness, unable to convince the world at large that what they've experienced is real. And at the same time, they have involved themselves in this incomprehensible.
Victor, I've got to stop you. We're at the top of the hour, and I'm asking you to stay over a little bit because we haven't had a full hour with you.
Oh, it is one now.
It already is. How time flies, huh?
Well, you caught me in the middle of my larger statement, I suppose, so I will hold on.
Very good. Stand by, Victor. Stand by, Sean David Morton. I'm Art Bell. This is CBC.
Taking calls on the Wildcard Line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Good morning. My guests are Sean David Morton and the mysterious, and for a good reason, Victor, who brought out, got out, took out, managed to somehow get out a digital version of the alien interview that can be seen in single picture form, at least a couple of photographs, on my website now at www.artbell.com. We'll get back to Victor in a moment. Now, back to Sean David Morton and Victor. Gentlemen, welcome back.
How far down did you look?
Thank you.
We are back on the air, and if everybody would turn off their radios, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Victor and I were just talking about he was asking me whether or not it was me that found the hill that looked down on the base, and I told him that it was. And
yes, indeed.
I don't know if he's there. Are you there, Victor?
Yes, I'm here.
Victor, might I ask then, can you give us any physical details of the base itself? In other words, what the hangars are like, what the buildings are like, anything at all about
their... Are you referring to the Groom Dry Lake
sure.
facility or to S4?
Either one that you're able to describe, actually.
Well, the Groom Dry Lake facility has been broadcast several times now on various programs, and it is a relatively open facility in comparison to S4, which, as you may, I'm sure you do know, is 10 miles to the south in abutting Papoose Lake.
Well, we have seen satellite photographs of Area 51.
Yes, this is the demise of Area 51. You're seeing the Open Skies Treaty, the UFO tourism, which Mr. Morton is a big contributor to, and also a certain psychological effect, at least that's how I see it, of the Gulf War. When the soldiers came back from the Gulf War, complaining of Gulf War syndrome, and this saturated the media, I believe this was a direct cause of the lawsuit of the various Area 51 employees who claimed that they had been harmed by the years of fallout from
that's right.
the nuclear testing. At any rate, all of these causes contributed to what is now the case at Area 51, which is that the saucer program and the attempts at communication with the beings and the facilities for the beings are now abandoned.
All right. We've seen the photographs of what is above ground at Area 51. I would be interested in any description of S4 or to know how much of Area 51 and or S4 is underground.
Yes. Nothing significant is underground at the Groom Dry Lake facility. However, S4 has four underground levels, for a total of five if you count the surface.
And these are devoted to, are you able to describe what these levels are devoted to any degree?
The first two levels at S4 are the domain of the back engineering program for the saucers, which I'm sure that you've heard your fill of from Robert Lazar and others.
You bet.
Level 3 and 4, below the below level 1 and 2, is the domain of the program dealing with the EBEs.
Can you?
It includes the living quarters for the EBEs. By the way. Breathe oxygen. During the chaos of the phone number, I heard a bit of your earlier program. I'm not sure if I heard you correctly debating what the aliens breathe. They breathe oxygen. They can walk down any street in America and survive as well as they survive.
Well, if that is the case, can you describe then the reason for the apparent seizure that alien was having, or the reason that they die?
I'm sorry.
In other words,
you just handed me another note, and I would you repeat the question?
Okay, yes, sure. The question is, if oxygen is common, if they breathe as we do, then can you tell
us...
Well,
that I didn't say. Again, this is one of the mysteries of the beings and their technology. Did I finish my comment earlier about Schreiber's comment about the telepathy? The microbes, they, to a certain extent, the beings appear to be only symbolic. mean by that is when they're autopsied, they have the organs of a biological entity. They appear to function as a biological entity, but there is a lack of the chemical and physical functions one would expect in a biological entity, and this has led many individuals to consider them to be somehow not quite physical, that they are somehow hallucinatory, no matter how physical they may appear to be. But another way of looking at it, and this relates to their technology as well, is to just simply say that we are not capable of understanding how they have evolved or how they have changed themselves in their own environment. Because, I mean, think about it. If you took a simple teenager's CD of today, you know, some rock with the Pink Floyd or the Matching Pumpkins, and you took that CD and somehow transferred it back 100 years, there would be no science on the face of the earth that would be able to tell you what that CD was for or how it operated.
Yes, it would be as magic. That's a good point. Now, Victor, this alien was in distress, obviously. It was sick. Is there something on Earth that causes them to have a shortened lifespan that you're aware of?
This is the source of constant theories and no effective treatment. I do not believe that the aliens are dying because they cannot live in our environment. I don't want to make too many religious allusions, but to a certain extent, for some reason my mind keeps coming back to the story of Jesus, which before this occurred I did not believe to be historical fact. But at any rate, certainly symbolically it's applicable that the Son of God would make himself vulnerable to human action when obviously the Son of God would not be in that position.
Victor, did you see any other
natural condition?
Sorry, did you see any other creatures being interviewed other than this one? I mean, on the video that you
I did not personally see any other creatures, and I did not see any videotape of other species. I saw a videotape of a being of the same species, another being. I don't want to get into things that will tend to narrow down my participation and make it more clear.
All right,
where I fit into this, but I am not 100% a believer in the Pleiadian aliens and the various other the more humanoid species. I believe they're wish fulfillment.
Do we know where these particular aliens, this particular alien, is from?
I believe they are from not here. I do not believe that they are necessarily from the far reaches of space, from Zeta Reticuli, what have you. Various science fiction writers and scientists have postulated different forms of alternate universes, and I don't believe there's really any scientific understanding of this phenomenon. But if I were to choose an answer to that question, I would say they come from another dimension. They come from a contiguous place that is not available to us, whereas their place and ours are equally available to them.
Very informative. All right. What is the tone at Area 51? In other words, are they planning at some point, do you believe, to go public, release anything soon? Will there be a moment of revelation, or are they going to continue to keep this black?
I believe that the real, the very real radioactive contamination from fallout is developing into a cover story, which may or may not allow the government to begin allowing outsiders into Area 51 to show everyone that it was simply a base, an artifact of Cold War spy operations, where while all the functional operations are moved northeast into Utah.
Okay.
This is my belief.
Can you?
In other words, there is a very good chance that Sean Morton will very soon be able to get off his hill, go down into Area 51, and be told nothing ever happened here.
I'm sure
I
he'll
believe
that.
You're
already trying to say that, Victor.
Can you confirm the Bob Lazar story as basically accurate?
What is the Bob?
The Bob.
I have heard a number of.
All right, Victor. I have interviewed Bob Lazar. He basically contends that over a period of time, he worked on several craft at Area S4.
Yes.
Would you confirm that much?
I will not confirm that Robert Lazar worked on these craft, but I believe that his information is largely correct. Possibly scuttling back behind my anonymity, I don't want to specify too much of my own contact with
hardware. Can you confirm that that those craft were at one time there?
Absolutely. There is no. I can confirm that.
Could you tell us where they might have moved those craft? I mean, not the other stuff like the X-33 and all the stuff they're moving to Utah, but the actual flying saucers.
The saucers themselves, I don't believe, have been moved at this time.
Uh-huh.
I believe they will be moved, and I cannot tell you how they will be moved. I have not made a study of all of the UFO lore, but I believe, I was told that John Lear made a claim that that various government bases are connected by a vast series of underground tunnels.
That's right.
Which would allow for these saucers to be moved underground. Now, I have no knowledge of that. I have never seen evidence of these tunnels. I find it not hard to believe because I have seen what the beings have allowed humans to do with their technology, and I suppose that if it were in part of their plan, they might make this possible, but I believe it's beyond the scope of human engineering to, for instance, connect Edwards Air Force Base to Tonopah or to Area 51. But I certainly believe, even if this is true and I am not aware of it, that there are no tunnels between Area 51, between F4 and the Utah sites, which is where the cover program is moving, Michael Air Force Base and the Utah White Sands.
So then, the popular mechanics story is disinformation. Popular Mechanics is running a story saying that Area 51 is moving, and what you just said seems to indicate that you believe that to simply be a cover.
The Groom Dry Lake operation is more or less what the government has. Well, for a long time they did not say it was anything, but what the government would like you to believe it is. It is a testing ground for super secret aircraft. The S-4 site, Papoose Lake, is the site of the truly black program. Now, the Groom Dry Lake activities are unquestionably moving to Michael's Air Force base and White Sands. The saucers, as I say, I don't believe they have moved yet. And if the perform, then they will somehow be lifted or dug to these new locations.
All right, there are, Victor, a lot of people who have seen these craft flying in and around S4 and Groom Lake.
Yes.
And you think the craft are still below ground at S4?
I believe they are, but I don't believe that anyone has actually seen one since at the latest early 1992,
so
in other
words,
late 1991.
You believe they have stopped flying them?
I believe so. I believe any sighting, because this is the thing about the aerial sightings, that, you know, half of them, more than half of them, are wishful thinking. And I believe that the frenzy surrounding Area 51, you know, causes people to see things that are not there.
As I told you earlier, Art, we didn't see anything out there from the summer of 1993 on.
All right, this may seem a silly question for you, Victor, but I want to ask it. For however long you were in these areas,
yes,
were you fed? Did they give you meals?
I have an interesting story about meals. But as a matter of fact, I can't tell you. that would be another case of me identifying myself. All I will say about meals is that at S4, level 3 and 4, have no cafeteria facilities, and the personnel who work on those levels do not come up to feed. This sounds ridiculous, but there is a dumbwaiter system which has a somewhat amusing visual. Acts as a somewhat amusing visual metaphor for the transportation of the saucers to the surface, and the plates are coming down these dumb waiters into the security office as these saucers are being elevated to the surface, and I've often found this to be obscurely amusing.
Would you describe this alien as a prisoner or a guest?
Well, I think you can derive my feeling about it from my earlier statements, but I'll say it again. I believe that the government, by turns, likes to pride itself on these creatures being their prisoners, or congratulate themselves on being these creatures' hosts. But in fact, I believe that the creatures are performing their own
function.
Yeah.
All right, Victor, we are at the bottom of the hour, and if you wish to stay, we'd love to have you.
Are we going away for several minutes?
Several minutes, yes.
Well, possibly I'll stay a little longer, but I must go.
Good,
off.
You're doing very well. I understand. We'll try and...
Well, my feeling is that this is perhaps my last public statement. So.
I understand, so we should make it a good one. Stay right there. My guests, Victor and Sean David Morton. I'm Art Bell.
Toll free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
My guests are Victor, who brought or caused to be brought a digital form of video, or video in a digital form, out of Area 51, later translated to analog and on VHS, that interrogation or interview of an alien. Sean David Morton is also here. Back to them both in a moment. You're listening to Victor make his last public statement. And so, Victor, I would like to ask another question. Without telling me, because I realize it would compromise you, how you got, specifically how you got this information digitally out, can you describe in a generic way the security at Area 51 and S4?
In a generic way.
In a generic way. In other words, I don't want to know how you got this out, because I'm sure you won't tell me, but I would like to know what kind of security they have at these bases.
You mean personnel security?
Sure.
The Groom Dry Lake facility is actually relatively low tech. They have badges and they have fingerprint readers. S4 goes a step further with a retinal scan. But as far as the transfer of materials out of either facility, this is strictly controlled. In fact, it's an interesting example of how the government fails in its efforts, even on this level, because the offices and the facilities at S4 have numerous personal mementos, which were not not supposed to be brought in, and somehow were, which is a never-ending source of amazement to me.
Well, if somebody can get somebody in, would presume you could get them out as well. Is a body search a normal course of events?
Yes, certainly at S4. I'm not going to make that statement, but certainly at S4, yes.
Mm-hmm. Sean, anything you want to chime in on here?
Yes, can you describe anything about the hangars at S4? Anything unusual about the offices and how the hangars were actually connected?
In what sense?
As far as were there offices at the far end of the actual hangars at S4?
By the far end, you mean in relation to the personnel elevators or?
The personnel elevators. Did you actually stay at S4? I mean, did they fly you up there?
No. At Groom Lake, there are military personnel who sleep at the base, but at S4, the staff is bussed in and out on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And you were bussed in and out, and then flown in and out?
Yes. Yes,
Bob,
in a sense, let us say, metaphorically speaking, that covers it. I didn't want to make comments about.
All right, Bob Lazar, was or claimed to be working in essence as a subcontractor, a civilian, employed to back engineer these craft that you talked about at
right,
S4.
Right.
Can you tell us if you were in that category or
No. I at this point I will understand that you ask these questions, but obviously that falls within the category of questions I won't answer.
All right. Can you tell us if your relationship with the people there is still in place?
No, I will not specify, and I will not specify whether or not I intend to be going on to Utah. My profile at Area 51, I think I have succeeded in keeping rather vague my public profile in the statements I've made so far. I've reviewed the tape I made for Rocket several times, trying to imagine how someone might infer from my statements things that I meant to keep secret. And frankly, in that case, I forced them to pre-interview me, and then I nixed a number of questions, and they still asked them. It was a semi-fiasco.
I think we were just curious as to whether or not you might be able to get into the base again and maybe bring more video out or more information. at any point in the future?
The moment when video could be brought out, I believe, has passed. That's not to say that another similar moment of confusion indecision on the part of the authorities won't arise again. But this particular 2 minute 55 second clip was strictly a case of an opportunity presenting itself at a particular moment when the facility was in turmoil, when a number of forces came together. Number one, they've eliminated all of their video. Someone came up with the bright idea that all of this secret documentation would be more secret in a digital format, and of course anybody involved in the internet knows this is not the case. A good chunk of their budget that they didn't expect to be spending is now spent trying to second guess the ways in which this information can be spread. But at the moment that this clip presented itself to be smuggled out, as we are saying, the confusion, the bureaucratic confusion, and the actual physical confusion at S4 made it possible, and that's no longer the case.
An opportunity. All right, Victor, is there any more video that you have other than that?
No, there is none.
That is a totality.
I've seen other video, but this was the piece that I could take in a metaphorical sense. Again, the Morton's misstatement in his newsletter is correct. Metaphorically, I did see the opportunity and I did take it, and this was the extent, this was the size of the bundle that I could metaphorically again smuggle out.
Mm-hmm.
The riches that were that are available are truly mind-boggling. And by the way, I was speaking to Morton during the commercial for a moment, and he brought up the alien autopsy, which I believe, in fact, I would say that I know has to be a hoax, because if only because the beings in that video do not resemble any of the beings in any of the other documentation, and I have not seen the actual autopsies from Roswell.
All right, in some
sort of strange way, it could be true, but I do not believe it.
Victor,
the style does not resemble any of the material from the 40s.
All right, Victor, then what do you say to the people who say this is a hoax?
I say that's your right to believe that, and I only hope that you study the video before you jump to that conclusion. Also, I hope that this is the beginning of a trend. I believe that I don't believe that the government can stand down at Area 51 and not have the kind of lead that it cannot spin to its advantage in the way that so many previous leaks have been spun.
Victor, if they were to identify you now, knowing that you have smuggled this video out,
yes.
If they found you and identified you, what do you believe would happen to you?
I am uncertain. Clearly, Robert Lazar is still alive, but I believe that he has suffered more than even he really understands for what he did. And there have been others who still remain nameless. I suppose at best I would be another doubtful character with a face instead of an anonymous question mark. At worst, I would be dead.
Will there be be a day in your life, Victor, when you will say, all right, that's it, I will come forward, I want to tell this story, my real name is, and here's what really happened?
I can't say whether that day will come. I've changed in ways I didn't expect since this entire process began. When I brought this tape to Rocket, I had an idea about myself and about what I was planning to do after revealing this tape that has not come to pass. I'm dealing with the endless confusion that seems to this Coleman character who runs Rocket Pictures, led me to believe this would be quick and clean, and instead here we are.
Sure.
Almost a year later, but at the same time, my desires for my own life have changed in ways I didn't expect. We spoke of that, the effect of
sure.
these beings, and my feeling is that I may simply fade out, not only from this unwanted public persona, but also from my life as I knew it. I believe to a certain extent these beings are asking us to step away from the life we know, and for human civilization to step away from its path and step out into unknown areas, truly unknown. They don't present us with maps.
All right, Victor. Sean, anything else you can think of?
I just wanted to compliment Victor on just being very eloquent and doing this very, very well. And I mean, I had some, gosh, after that, I had mundane questions like, whether or not we didn't see the creature's, the being's hands in the video, and whether or not it was either, it was tied down or it couldn't
have been lifted. No, it was not tied down.
Okay.
No, the being was weak. The being was seated and was weak, but it was not tied down.
Did it have two fingers, three fingers? Can you describe the digits on the hands?
It has four fingers, one of which resembles a thumb,
uh-huh.
but has a pivot point that human thumb doesn't have. It can function almost as a finger or as a thumb. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. I guess the ultimate question I have is gosh, Victor, where are we going with all this? I mean, we've got the whole reason I got involved in Area 51 in the first place was because, not only because they were flying saucers up and down the valley that I was watching and bringing people out to see, but that this technology was so amazing.
Have you seen any evidence of it in the culture at large?
Of the technology?
Obviously not. And I think you should ask yourself why the government, if it had mastered this alien technology, if it had traded for it or wrested it by violence from these beings, why this technology has not been presented before the world as an example of unimaginable force.
Well, we were discussing that to some degree, and the STS-48 tape and now the STS-80 tape show things that would indicate that we do indeed have this technology, and we are indeed using it. Not publicly, but we are using it. Victor, when you gave this tape...
I believe that that's a false dawn. I don't believe it will be followed up. And the reason I don't believe this is that the... I believe I was... I mentioned earlier the constant... the constant contacts these aliens make with private individuals, but the comment I didn't get to was that this constant contact with the government resembles a test. It resembles a test that the government is failing, a test of its purpose and of its spiritual worth, if you will.
right. When you gave the tape, Victor, to Rocket Video, what was your motivation? Why did you take this tape to him? Did you want...
I took it to Rocket Video because I had decided that I wanted money. At the time, I had more rationalizations than I have today. But I felt that I was putting myself in danger, putting my career in danger, and that I needed to give myself as much latitude for essentially fleeing as I could, and that I needed money. And when I went to Hollywood hat in hand, rather foolishly, it quickly became apparent to me that almost everyone, that almost no one could be trusted to maintain my privacy, not because they particularly, you know, cared about upending my plans, but simply because they felt that the publicity would be in, to their benefit, or in some cases, in some of the larger organizations, I didn't get to the point of actually discussing this, but I intuited that they were worried about their reputations. This business with the alien autopsy, I assume this from things that have been said, that to a certain extent Fox Television has suffered some ridicule that they don't seem to be able to.
But you're honest.
To shake off. But at any rate, Rocket Pictures offered me
money,
a deal that I felt I could take, that still has maintained my anonymity, although they do keep pushing me to make more and more of these statements. This call is the end of the contractual arrangement, and it was supposed to have happened before the end of last year. Not with you, but with whoever they chose as the outside interview, and here we are now, and now they have Germans, they have I don't know who, the British, they have innumerable people that they want me to talk to, and even for money at this point, I think it's more dangerous than it's worth.
So you are going to take what money you have been given?
You're gone. I mean, it's not gone, but I have removed myself financially from a need of them. What I need from Rocket now is simply that they that I fulfill my agreement with them, so that they will fulfill their agreement with me.
And you now wish to fade into obscurity?
Yes, absolutely.
And we will never hear from you again.
I can't. As I say, this entire experience has been not what I expected, initially I had a certain kind of contempt for Robert Lazar. I thought he was a grandstander. I thought he enjoyed the spotlight, and perhaps I can't really say now. I understand the forces that begin to work on you when you do something like this. Not that, you know, no matter how much you try to keep yourself sealed off, when you speak, the response that comes back to you has a pull that is terrible.
Well, there is one big difference, Victor. They know where to find Bob.
Oh,
they don't know where to find you.
Yes, well, I am hoping to keep it that way.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for joining us.
Oh, I see that it's almost two. We do need to wrap this up.
I think the appropriate term is terminate the interview.
Yes. I gather that was a joke.
That was a joke. Victor, I wish you a safe, healthy life. You've answered everything to the best of your ability, and we've asked just about everything we can, so be safe, my friend. Be safe. When we come back at Sean David Morton, and we got, oh boy, did we get a lot more from that than I thought we were going to. You have good days and you have bad days, and this is a good day. We will continue in a moment.